Our Father, we give you thanks for today. Thank you because you have prepared something special for us. And we will not miss our portion of it in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And let's declare the word of understanding as we begin to study today. Are we ready? Now I declare that the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. And I'm being filled with the knowledge of His will. In all spiritual wisdom and understanding, as a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing Him in all respects. I am bearing fruit in every good work. And I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to His word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area. And it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, the Lord is good.
All the time.
I said the Lord is good.
All the time.
If you believe that, give me an amen.
Amen.
Please shake somebody's hand on your left or your right. Tell the person congratulations.
Congratulations.
Say you are very wise.
You are very wise.
You could have gone to watch a match. You could have gone to G somewhere. But you came to study the word of God. Tell the person you are very wise.
You are very wise.
Say, tell the person you are very wise.
You are very wise.
And God will reward your decision.
And God will reward your decision.
Today, understanding is coming to you.
Amen.
Tell the person freedom is coming to you. Say clarity is coming to you. Direction, divine direction is coming to you. Say total healing. From the top of your head. Point to the person's head. Say from the top of your head. To the soles of your feet. Point to the feet. Say you will be healed totally. As paid for by the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus. Alright, the Lord is good. Let's take our seats and kick off into learning the word of God. We have been looking at, of course, indirectly, the source of eternal life. What we have been looking at this series, we titled it The Way, the Truth, and the Life. And that is based upon what the Lord Jesus said to us. Let's just read that again. It would be nice to start with it. The book of John chapter 17. Now we just want to read that again from verse 1. The Bible says, Jesus spoke these things, and lifting up his eyes to heaven, he said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that his Son may glorify you, even as you gave him authority over all flesh, that to all whom you have given him, he may give eternal life. Now notice verse 3. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus whom you have sent. Let me just stop reading there. That's what we have been doing, looking at the significance of this or how to go about it. What is eternal life? Eternal life is the, I want to use an expression, it's interesting. It's the blood of God flowing into you. Do you understand my point here? That's eternal life. Eternal life is the spirit, the substance inside God that flows into his creation so that you and I will perform as God created us to perform. That is eternal life. When life is cut off, God warned Adam, and he said that the day you eat of that tree, that day you shall surely die. Dying, he said, you shall die. Now what that means is that you'll be cut off from the source of life, and then things will begin to crumble, things will begin to fold up. Let me use that expression again. It begin to fold up. You know, like you're driving in a car, you're spinning very fast, all right, on a flat ground. If you turn off your engine, you can keep moving for the next 2 minutes or so, all right? But the engine is dead, but the car is still gliding. The car is still rolling. So what happened to mankind was that after Adam sinned, they cut off the source of eternal life, but physically they were still breathing. Do you understand? So the word of God was not, you know, the promise of God did not fail. I'm using the expression as promise. That day, they surely died. What happened was that things began to fold up. Things began to fold up. You know, I was listening to David Paulson once, and he talked about when he went to a particular place, and a man was trying to, you know, was trying to contradict his teaching of righteousness. And he said to David Paulson, listen, I'm a good man. I'm as good as anybody. Ask around the factory. They know me. I'm the man that stands up for other people. I help other people. Essentially, he was saying, I'm morally good. I'm morally okay. What do I need to go to church for? Look at it. I'm already a good man. Are you getting my point? David Paulson, as the man was speaking, he was praying in his heart, God, what do I tell this man? And suddenly the Lord gave me a word of knowledge. And when the man finished, he told him simply, you are a good man. I'm summarizing it now. You are a good man because you grew up under the influence of your grandfather and he took you to church. your goodness, okay, is the manifestation of the godliness that your grandfather put into you. But you are still good even though you have stopped going to church. And he told the man, your children will not be able to say these things. Because you see, the force of eternal life is still carrying you on. But dying, you have died. Are you getting my point? But you don't realize it yet. The force of the man who took you to church is still pushing you. Your children do not have that advantage. So one day they are going to grow up and they will not find the life of God operating in them at all. So he said, when godliness disappears in one generation, goodness disappears in the next. Now, that's the way it works. So when one generation forsakes God, it is the next generation you will see the impact of their forsaking God. That's how it works. So when God said to Adam, in dying you shall die, what happened is that Adam was cut off that day, and it took a while. One of the manifestations was that one day his son killed his brother. That's a manifestation of death. I'm trying to talk about eternal life, actually. So eternal life is when things begin to rearrange. When the life of God starts flowing into you, things start rearranging. Do you understand me? The person that was predisposed to falling sick starts remaining well. It takes a while before you see the fullness of that manifestation. But that eternal life begins to flow. It begins to flow. And that's the thing. So eternal life is that power of God that flows into us to make sure things work properly. It reverses the force of death. It reverses things that have gone wrong and they begin to go correctly. That is what eternal life is. So how do we tap that eternal life? We'll be looking at that for some time. And we're not about to stop now. Eternal life does not come by prayer, that the laying on of hands. You cannot lay hands on a Christian and expect all his problems to be solved in one day. When God works one miracle like that, it's usually one miracle. Are you getting my point? That's usually that one miracle. It ties the person over for a few days, and that's it. Eternal life doesn't work like that. It's not by laying on of hands. Eternal life does not come by crying. The Bible says that Jesus was speaking to us here. He said, how does it come? It's through the true knowledge of God. It comes through the true knowledge. It's knowledge that brings forth eternal life. He said, this is eternal life, that they may know you. They know you as the only true God. And when you want to know God, the way by which you know him, which is why we're doing this series, The Way, the Truth, and the Life, is by knowing his son, Jesus Christ. When you behold the face of Jesus, through that you are knowing the true God. That's the way it works. And I said something on Tuesday, which I've said many times, just like repeating it again. Knowledge in the realm of the spirit is not intellectual information. I can't say that enough. Knowledge is power. You know, let me give you an example now. You know, if you are eating, a man who's eating well or eating more than he used to eat, you will see it on him. You don't have to be there when he's eating. Are you getting my point? You know, I saw one of my cousins the other day, you know, who I had not seen in a long time. A few years ago, he moved from Nigeria to America. When I saw him, I was asking, is he around? They said he's around. Where is he? They pointed to him. And I looked again. And I looked a second time. I said, which one of them? They described. Why? The man had added weight. I never seen him that fat in my life. You get what the point I'm making here? I saw a man who had not seen in a long time. Because he had changed his diet, I saw it on him. I didn't have to go and tell him, tell me you have been eating. He doesn't have to say it. Once I see his face, I know it. Now, listen to this. The food of the realm of the spirit is the spiritual knowledge that you acquire. When you eat it, demons can see your size. It's not about, they can see your size. Physically, you may not change, but the angels can see your size. They know this man is adding weight or is losing weight. The more of God you understand, the fatter you are in the realm of the spirit. When the Bible says the yoke will be broken, you know, by the anointing. You've heard that expression before in Isaiah. What he actually said is the yoke will be broken because of fatness. Because your neck will have become fat, the yoke that they put upon your neck, the enemies, it will break by itself. It's not that tonight anointing is coming. Every yoke will be broken. That's what the Bible says. What the Bible said, the yoke will be broken how? By fatness. That's the meaning of the word anointing. King Jesus used the word anointing. Fatness is what the Bible says. Fatness was what the prophet said. Now listen to this. That's how it is. When a man eats spiritual food, which is the word of God, the knowledge of God, the knowledge of Christ Jesus. You know what this would have said that come for family deliverance? Don't go. There's no need. I'm telling you the truth. There is no need. Because if you like, break the bonds on their faces, on their neck, the yoke on their neck. As soon as you go away, the devil that put it there will come back and put it back. And usually he puts a stronger one. No, think about it now. If you tie an animal, you tear, use neck, tear the rope. When you want to tie it back, use the same rope. Nah, lie. You go back and say, give me a fatter rope. Say, I don't want rope again, give me chain. Don't let the devil change your family member by carrying them for deliverance. No, I'm telling you the truth. If it was possible for that devil to go, it will go and wait outside. When the prayer warriors, it won't go anywhere. Most of those guys are hungry people, so forget that. The devil is not going to go. They are lean in the realm of the spirit. Them themselves, they know. It's not, you don't carry people for prayer who they don't have spiritual substance to sustain them. There's no point. I remember once they read those days. Just to support what I've been saying. Omoba Jesu in his book. Was it either Omoba Jesu or Emmanuelini, one of the two of them? You know, those two people that were delivered from darkness those days. I don't know. Okay, many of you who know. Most people who don't know. Okay. You need to have been an adult like 25 years ago for you to know what I'm talking about. Yeah, I'm not joking. All right? The books were reigning in the early 80s. Okay? That's Emmanuelini and Omoba Jesu. All right? Two of them. I think it was Emmanuelini said that once he followed one girl to church, he was chasing a woman, and then followed her to church. And then it was a Christian girl, and then he followed her to church. And as soon as he entered the church, the prayer warriors pounced on him. They discerned that he had a lot of evil spirits, and they began to cast them out. They held him by force and cast out every single one of the evil spirits. Well, that's the story by himself later. Of course, all the spirits left him. You know what they did? They went outside. Said, this church is a dangerous place. And as soon as that service ended, he came out. They repossessed him. They were his friends. You are the ones that say he's possessed. They were his friends. He was an occultist. He needed them to function. So when you were casting them out, who won't die? The spirits didn't want to die. And they went out and waited. And as soon as the service was over, they returned into him and they continued in his evil ways. He finally met the Lord by himself much later. Now what I'm going to say here is this. Sometimes you want to force people to be delivered. You can deliver them for a moment. If the deliverance is not accompanied by spiritual weight gain, the yoke will return. And if you want to have your yoke destroyed by yourself, gain spiritual weight. Gain spiritual weight. Yeah. Just like we can gain weight physically, we can gain weight spiritually. And what I'm emphasizing is that weight in the realm of the spirit is by knowledge. It's by knowledge. It's what you understand. You hear me say it all the time, that witches don't come near my house. And they know I'm not bragging. Why don't they come? I don't know. They can't come. That's all I can say. I can't say more than that. Prove to me. They know. They are aware of it. That is why I don't pray every witch that comes near my environment in the name of Jesus. Ask my wife. There are things I have never, ever said. Why should I say them? Why will I say them? Like, the one I say all the time is that if you have the power, if your cult is so strong, and you have the ability, jump my fence. If you survive the jumping of the fence, then just know that you gave your life to Christ in mid-air. That by the time you were landing, you had repented. If your evil was still in you, by the time you were landing, forget it, you're dead meat. You are totally fried. And I can prove it to you. Satan, God asked him, have you considered my servant Job? You know what did he say? We don't go near his house. Why? We saw the protection you put around him. Why would these agents start going to the place where their God can't go? It's simple. Many prayers Christians pray, what they are saying is that we know we are not protected. We know God is not on our side. We know we are at risk. That's what they are praying. I said on Tuesday, be careful. Not every prayer point you join. There is not every prayer point. I'm telling you the truth. I'm not joking about it. If I go to a church and say that if you want to break the back of poverty today, come forward. If I get up, God will punish me. If you get up, you're on your own. No? Because there are things that you are admitting some things. When I talked to one of my colleagues, a woman, I said, you believe in women's liberation? He said, for those who are in bondage, they can be liberated. I'm not in bondage. Now, did you see the way she answered it? Say women liberation, except for the women who are bound. Let them be liberated. For those of us who are not bound, very, very good answer. In the same manner, if I go to a church, you tell me that, listen, today I come with an anointing to break the poverty in your life. There's nothing you want to say that will make me get up. Nothing. Tell me all the stories they tell all the time.
There's nothing you want to tell me. Why? You said you came to break the bondage of poverty. I have to first admit I am in bondage to poverty before I listen to you. I don't care how anointed you are. I'm not your client. Let me put it like that. I am not your client. Say, but you are not rich yet. Who told you? You must be blind. Show me your riches. If you can't see it, you are proving to me you are blind. My riches is not car, it's not house, it's not cash. It's spiritual liberty. You are getting my point here? Yeah? That's a matter of fact. Look, that's why it's not every, you call for some prayer point. I told you I went to a church once. They were praying in a big church. I don't know the church. I used to go there a lot. The big man, very powerful minister. Without praying, before, you know, maybe like finish before a session, Apostle came to was leading prayer earlier now. I thought we're there. And one woman tapped me after a while. She said, which church do I go to? I was like, what do you mean? We're all here together. We came for a program. Which church do I go to? You know that kind of thing. She said she's asking because she knows that when they are releasing some prayer points, when everybody is praying and fighting and praying, I'll just fold my hands and be looking. Now, she didn't know where I came from. The school I went to, we don't fight when we are praying. That's when I was in school. All right? We talk, okay? One. Then number two, the one I couldn't tell her, is that, madam, I consider all those prayer points pointless. A prayer point that has no point. They are not points. They are prayer blunts. Are you getting my point? A prayer point, you have a point. I said, I couldn't tell her that. That all those prayer points, I was looking at all of you and I was wondering what you were praying about. Why? Let me give you a prayer point. Sometimes they will say that, you will say, the word I want to hear today, the birds of the air will not pick it and take it away. The devil will not steal it from me. And I'll be wondering, the devil, do you want to steal it? Do you think you can steal it? I'm sorry, I just couldn't understand that prayer point. Listen, it's not arrogance, so, but because I like what the bishop used to call spiritual calculus. I had done my calculus. What was my calculus? My calculus was that the Bible said those that the birds of the air came and picked away were those who heard the word and did not understand. You cannot pray that they will not take it away unless you have understanding. It is their right to take it away from those who don't understand. You don't even try to rebuke them. Even if you rebuke them, how will they help you? That was my first point. I said, no. Forget this thing, though. They can't take it away. I felt like calling the devil. Do you think you can take it away? I felt like the devil, come, try. Take it. Let me see whether you can take it. That was my own attitude. So when they raised that prayer point, I'm sorry, I couldn't see anything. I couldn't. And the second reason is that they said, Solomon was speaking, he said, pay attention or give attention that you may gain understanding. I said, no. I took leave from work. Took 3 buses to get here. You think I came here to joke? I will inform my boss like 3 weeks, 1 month ahead, that please, ma, by so and so date, I would like to take 2 weeks, 2 days casual leave. Why? Because I need to go for a particular meeting. A week to the time, I will remind my oga, please, oh, I need to go for this meeting. Then those 2 days, they will grant me the casual leave. And I didn't have a car. I will enter 3 buses to get to church. And I was wondering, the devil that couldn't stop me from getting here, you think he can steal this word? So when the woman was asking me, I didn't know how to tell her, madam, I'm sorry, there are prayer points I don't pray. Because if you have understanding, that does not apply to you. If you want understanding, there are just 2 things you do. One, you pray that God will give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. 2, you pay attention. That's all. Which will steal the word? They can't. They can't. I'm talking about what knowledge does to us as Christians. What we know beefs our spiritual weight. It does. It beefs your weight spiritually. It breaks bondages off your neck. I'm sorry to say, people pray and pray. Oh God, that's why we're going to Port Harcourt next week. To go and teach how to pray. Listen, people who don't want to grow up in the realm of the spirit are the ones running around from one place to the other looking for who will pray for them and deliver them. Deliverance does not come by prayer like that. It comes by growing up in the realm of the spirit until you are so fat, all the yokes of the enemy cannot wrap around your neck. Are you getting my point? That is how it comes. So, how does that happen? Jesus said, it's by knowledge. I was saying, so knowledge spiritually is not just, I have a certificate. No. Those with spiritual eyes, the angels, the demons, they can see it. So the more of God you know, it affects your glow in the realm of the spirit. And listen to this. Eventually, it affects your glow, physically speaking. The Bible says they looked to him and were lightened, or they were radiant, and their faces were no longer ashamed. That is a matter of fact. You see somebody who's always depressed, falling sick again and again and again, there's a depth of understanding you gain. You start looking brilliant when people see you. They wonder why you're always smiling, and you would not even know you are smiling. It's confidence. It's confidence. You know, one of the things I've learned, over the last few years, before I used to argue with people a lot, these days I don't argue that much anymore. I realized that we don't have the same perspective, all right, concerning life. You know, my wife was telling me somebody who said, do you know what this country will be like in the next 50 years? That they are proud of their children, taking them abroad. I said, you are very, very foolish. Oh, foolish Galatians. Do you know where you are going? What it will be like in 50 years? I don't argue people anymore. I just said, they don't have my perspective. They don't have my perspective. What am I going to say here? When we have knowledge, it affects how we relate with things. It affects how we react to things. It does. So when everybody's worried, you're smiling. As me, you walk in an office, they just sack 10 of you. 10 in one day. And you now form a group of recently sacked employees. Are you getting my point? Association of recently sacked people. So they come together. You know what everybody expects? Let me just say something about life. Everybody expects to sit down and together be whining and complaining. How will the poor survive? These wicked people, they want the poor to just die. And you know what they expect? Next person will take the next line of the chorus, the song. You know, somebody have finished singing one stanza. Next person will start. That is the problem. They are fully looting the country. Now there's nothing left for the people, common people like us. What are we going to do? Nothing. We will just die. It's a song. Are you getting my point? I'm not going to fix the third stanza. What are we going to do now? I don't know. What are we going to do now? We die. It's a song. You don't realize it. Listen, when it gets to your own turn to sing, refuse to sing. So what do you think? You look at it, say, when one door closes, the Lord has opened another one. See, he takes away the first to establish the second. This is the first that has been taken away. The second is coming. Amen. What will happen to my children? What happens to the birds of the air? What happens to the grass in the field? What happens to them? The same God who takes care of them will take care of me and my children. And you're not joking. And, I get told that every week now for this reason, because I talk to my classmates, all right? I get told that every week. Banky is not in touch with reality. I quarrel with a very good friend of mine because he's a believer. You're a Christian, don't talk like an unbeliever. He said, your own kind of patriotism, I don't understand. I said, there are enough of your type practicing your kind of lack of patriotism. The nation needs people like me because it's a battle of words. It's a battle of spirits. Spirits are fighting. Spirits are fighting every day. Will the country go to the left or go to the right? Spirits are fighting. There is nothing out there you see that is physically determined. It's spirits that fight to bring them into existence. Spirits fight to bring them into existence. And many of us, I keep on referring to this. Rick Joyner says this. Many Christians are fighting for Satan. On Satan's side, there are accusers of the brethren. There are accusers of the nation. They are accusers of everything. They plot and plot and plot and show you that the country can't go forward. Go to New York just about 30 years ago. 35 years ago. New York was a useless place, was run by the mafia. Yes. Just a few years ago. I was watching one TV program the other day on TV. Just less than 100 years ago, New York was so filthy. You walk on the streets, you walk in manure. Is that not what everybody wants to die and go today? Hey, come on. I was watching something the other day about the history of Europe. There was a time that life expectancy in Europe, life expectancy was 28 to 30. Most were dead as infants. A few more died as young men and young women. It was a rarity to live to be old. You put an average, most were dead before the age of 30, and it's Europe. I was talking to a brother the other day. I'm just digressing. I'm just talking about life. So you know how you judge things. When you have the knowledge of God, you face life differently. You let your spirit emit something. We were just talking about it. I've wondered what led to it. It's a Christian brother in town here. And we just suddenly talked about, okay, it started with Joss. All right? Talking about a friend of him that brought something for him from Jos, and that the man was complaining that this used to be a peaceful area, and that the Hausa Fulani wants to drive them away and all of that. And of course, you know the typical southern man the reaction. This Hausa Fulani people. I told, because he's a Christian, you must learn how to talk like a Christian. I said, yes. I said, it's called indignation. I didn't think anything of Fulanis or Hausas. I said, it's called indignation. I said, tell him it will end when the indignation is over. I said, God is saying, I gave you peace for a long time. What did you do with the peace? In the time of trouble, you know, David said something. He said, before I was afflicted, I went astray. He said, I said in my prosperity, I will never be moved. Many times when people have a lot of peace, they don't do what God gave them peace for. Just like in Nigeria recently, we had a lot of prosperity and everybody went crazy. You see people who have poverty in the soul. You give them money, what do they do with it? Buy bigger cars, travel over the world, send children to... most schools Nigerians were going to in Ghana were inferior to Nigerian schools. They did not know. They didn't care as long as not in Nigeria. People send children to schools in Eastern Europe. They want me to be impressed. Now, let me know. I'm digressing too much from my things I'm trying to say. So what happens sometimes that when we have a lot of peace, we don't use it properly, God takes it away. I told the brother, I said, tell your friend, it will be over. The indignation will soon be over. Amen. And I began to tell him, I said, listen, there's what they call indignation. That's why I'm talking about it. I said, go and look at the picture of homes in Syria, okay? Just 10 years ago. Look at pictures of beautiful places in Syria, Middle East, just 10 years ago. I said, you look at the same things today, you wouldn't believe it. Even Tripoli, Libya, those things were so beautiful, Nigerians ran there. Look at the same places today, you wouldn't believe it. I told my brother, I said, listen, it's called indignation. That the judgment of God comes. When God pronounces judgment, that's what you experience. The whole place will scatter. And I laugh when people say, oh, you're running over Europe. Listen, what happened in Syria can happen anywhere. What happened in Syria can happen anywhere. There was a time God brought indignation against Israel. And he warned them ahead. He said, I'm going to bring it against you. What are you going to do when Nebuchadnezzar comes? He said, just follow him, Jeje. Don't fight him. Those who follow him, easy. I will take care of. Okay? They did not listen to Jeremiah. So he came as he was prophesied and took and killed and plundered and all of that. And the remnants, they went to Jeremiah and said, what shall we do? He still said to the remnants, now God has taken those he wants to take away. The rest of you will stay here, abide in the land and keep the land. They said, hey, somebody paid you to prophesy this lie. We are going to run to Egypt, a peaceful country, a strong country, a country that Nebuchadnezzar cannot attack. Babylon can't go there. Jeremiah said, no, you stay here. They said, no, we are going. They went. I'm saying that what happened in Syria can happen anywhere. They went to their surprise. The Lord stirred up for their sake. The Lord stirred up Nebuchadnezzar where he was. Stirred up the king of Babylon. And the king of Babylon went to Egypt and found them there and killed all of them. These are Christians' reason. Everything is spiritual. I don't have one iota of faith in any country of this world. Listen to this, including Nigeria. I don't have faith in America. I don't have faith in any country of Europe. I don't have faith in Nigeria. I don't have faith in South Africa. I don't have faith anywhere. My faith is built on nothing else but on God, my Father. And I know that if he blesses me, wherever he keeps me, he will keep me there. And then you see, as I go on, what you must be careful about, that everything you are doing in life, you are seen to be walking without knowledge. That the Lord is my keeper. 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 You must put that knowledge in your heart every time you are making decisions. The Lord is my keeper. The Lord is my keeper. The Lord is my keeper. There's no country on earth that can prosper you. One of my doctors got up one day, said he's going to run away to America. 2 years later, his brother came to me and said, if he wants his job back, will you people give it back to him? 5 years later, that is from the time he left, 5 or 6 years later, one day somebody called me and said, do you remember so and so person? I said, yes, I do. He said, somebody called him a few days ago and said, please come and help a frustrated doctor in America. 6 years he had been there. He was frustrated. You know? Why am I talking like this now? I'll get to my message in a moment. Let me talk some more. Let me talk some more. We need to talk and help people. You think people are listening to you? They are just doing like they did Ezekiel. They think you're a musician. You think they are listening to you? When they make some decisions, and you like, what? You know what they did to Ezekiel? Say, that man can preach. Every Sunday, Ezekiel's church was full. You know what God told Ezekiel? They are not listening to you. You are an entertainer. So you are to them like a man who plays well on an instrument. In fact, you know what God said? You'll be like Two-Face for them. Ezekiel said, me, Two-Face. For my own, it's even easy. They have a musician that bears my name. Banky W. One young man saw me downstairs here. We're just there after Bible study, we're just there standing and talking. He stopped. Ha! Good afternoon, sir. That's Pastor Banky, right? Banky W. I looked at him like, are you all right? The Lord is good. Sometimes you don't know who are listening to you. That's why I need to keep talking, saying these things. Let me tell you the truth, eh? As a believer, I'm talking about knowledge, what it does, all right? And you must let that knowledge seep into you and help you make decisions. You know, some time ago, I'm telling you young people, run up and down. Don't run up and down. Look, listen, I like what the Chris Evans said during my convention, which I went for last week. That's why I was not around Saturday. He said, you must never let the needs of your life be the God of your life. I wrote that thing down. He said, the need of your life must never be the God of your life. What was he saying? Don't run up and down because you have needs. Let something more than need push you up and down. You know, I saw that the other day. I was telling you earlier, a lot of my classmates were in the same chat group and all of that. One day I decided to sit down and reason. If you know how to calculate, of course, people are in the chat group from three different countries. Nigeria, number one. Okay, about four countries. Okay, apart from Nigeria, about four other countries that I can remember. Now, yes. But mostly UK, US. And then I think one or two people in South Africa, different parts of the world anyway, but mostly UK and US. And I analyzed it. This is a matter of, I'm not lying to you. We graduated from school 25 years ago to be 26 years, October this year. So we sat down and looked at it, looked at everything. People have run up and down. At the end of the day, guess what? We're all at the same level. If you know how to calculate what is important in life. All of us, we're about the same level. That's about it. Now, if you want to talk about those who have done things that mattered most, matter in life, they just fairly evenly scattered, but maybe because we are more in Nigeria, I think the Nigerians have done better. I see all of, they are all over the place. I weighed it, I said, okay, that's, listen, at the end of the day, everybody's about the same level, there's no, see, let me tell you something, you have to let me put it like this, give God time. Don't push him. Give him time. He doesn't have to make you a multi-millionaire now. He doesn't want to do it. If he did it, it won't help you anyway. When wealth increases, the number of people that eat the money only increases. That's all. If that doesn't increase, you buy cars. Look, you go and buy a Lexus. You go and buy one big Lexus. At the end of the day, what you don't realize, you are not more comfortable than the man in his Toyota Corolla. If actually, you realize it after a few weeks. It's those who have not bought one that don't know it. Those who have bought it, they know what Solomon knew. Vanity upon what? Vanity. Bear that in mind. So don't let anybody be tossing you up and down. Dollar will drop in value today. You've packed your bag. You are going to Libya. When they start bombing Libya, you run to Somalia. Then when Somalis start fighting amongst themselves, you start swimming to Lampedusa. Then you drown in the Mediterranean Sea. Then God now said, why did this boy drown? He said, because he couldn't wait. If he had waited back at home for just 5 more years, I would have brought the thing he was running up and down looking for. I would have brought them to his doorsteps. Why am I talking about that? Listen, that's how Christians react to things, because of knowledge. Knowledge makes you smile. It does. People tell you there's crisis. What crisis are you talking about? At least this is my life. I have lived through a number of these crises where I'm making noise about. At the end of it, you know, there's one thing that the Lord has helped me to understand in recent times. I just learned that In summary, banking. You know what Jesus said long ago, but experience has taught us what Jesus said long ago. He says, sufficient unto the day is what? Sufficient unto what? Unto what? You know what Jesus said? Take the day one by one. Don't you'll be surprised at how well you will handle each day if you don't worry about tomorrow. Oh, you'll be surprised that God has actually given you enough to handle today. And the reason why today is deficient is that you are focused on tomorrow. That what I've said is a matter of fact. Some people are looking for more money. If you know what they are looking for more money for, if you see what they are looking for money for, you just be wondering. He's not eating more. He has to. I told you about the man who he died building houses. When I heard the story, it was sad. You know, there are things you don't worry about when God has not given you money. Listen, many people are running up and down looking for more money, more money. You know the truth? What is ailing them is tomorrow. Today, God is taking care of them. No, God is very faithful. He's very faithful. He's taking care of the day. You don't like your car, you don't like your car, but check it. That car will keep moving until the next one arrives. If you handle that car with gladness in your heart, joy in your soul, gratitude to God, you don't like it, you don't like it. There's one noise it's making. That noise will never stop you anywhere. Occasionally you call Uday, come. They will take it away, fix the noise, screw it back. He said, the noise has gone. You drive the car away again. After 2 weeks, another noise starts. Then you will fix that noise again. And that car will keep on moving until one day God will give you another one. Then that car, have you seen the way they behave? They just stop. Have you seen anything like that before? The car will just stop. But that's why you now go to Dechiku, take you out there, oh God, now old age. This car did not know it was old until you got a new one. Let me tell you how it works. It's called the grace of God. God just withdrew the grace. I like the story I read in this man's book. God smuggler, Brother Andrew. He used one car for, he had never had a car before. Somebody told him one day and said, the Lord says you go and learn how to drive. And he's like, okay, I've heard. But of course, he didn't have a car. Why should he learn how to drive? So the person came one day and said, have you learned how to drive? He said, no, enter my car. So the fellow went and taught him how to drive. He said, the Lord said you must learn how to drive. That they were praying and they had the revelation that they should tell him to learn to drive. And he was wondering, like, learn how to drive? Make a long story short. After he learned how to drive, either that the people that taught him or another couple gave him a Beetle. He now had a car to be doing his mission work. Because that was his first car, I didn't know they used to change oil. Change filter, you know, air filter, oil filter. The guy was just driving all over Eastern Europe. Then finally, he stopped in front of one service station, one country, one day. I think the car stopped there. So he's like, what happened to this car? So he now saw a mechanic workshop, so he went and called the mechanic guy. And mechanic guy did not believe the car brought him there. That is not possible. This car is not moving. That this car is not moving. He said, like, what is your problem? I've been using my car with peace of mind all this while. There and then, the mechanic overhauled the engine, fixed everything, and told him how much it cost, except that his money was $20 short. Let me summarize the story. The group of students, tourists, they just saw him and said they felt like giving $20. He just went, paid the mechanic, and took his car was back to new. What am I trying to say here? The grace of God carried that car all that while. And when it was time for the car to be serviced, grace arranged everything. He just stopped in front of a mechanic workshop. What am I saying? Do you know God takes care of us every day? Every day. On a day-to-day, he's taking care. Yes. But when you start worrying about, see, Chinedu has finished his house. Holy sir, I heard he's decking right now. And these are your cousins and your classmates. They start feeling like a fool. Then suddenly you start saving the money that God said is for each day. You now start saving it for the tomorrow problem. and then you're not balanced again. That's why you now start going for miracle meetings. Somebody's poverty will be broken today, you will go forward. Somebody's breakthrough will come today, you will go forward. The witches in your mother's village say you will never build, you will believe. Somebody yesterday, you went into the house of your auntie and she was sitting on the dining table and eating chicken. The Lord said, I should tell you, it's not chicken. It's your destiny. And guess what? You will believe. Why won't you believe? They now tune TV and say, Emmanuel, my auntie said I will never build. You will believe. You now be arguing with me who is a man of God, who is not a man of God. Do you know your problem? It is, all this argument is not the issue. It is that you took the problems of tomorrow, brought it into today. That's what's confusing you. And in case you did not know, the only person in your whole extended family that spares 5 minutes a week to pray for you is that your auntie. Do you know why? Because last year, you paid your cousin's school fees. Because December, you bought her a few bundles of material and a bag of rice. That is the reason why she remembers to utter your name in prayer about 5 days, 5 times, for 5 minutes a week. Say, this is my nephew. God bless him. Help him. The devil that wants to destroy your destiny has to cut that prayer away. So it goes to all these jokers and they start seeing visions of devils for you. What is the solution? Don't give her anything again. And of course, when you don't do it for 1 year, 2 years, your cousins can't go to school. You that was helping before, you have stopped. She's a human being. The prayer will turn to accusation. She's not wishing you evil. She's just wondering in prayer. Lord, why is it that Chinedu is not remembering me again? It's a simple question he has asked the Lord. So the Lord sends the investigating party. Find out why Chinedu is not remembering her again. That's what they call accusation. They'll not write it against you, forgetting the widows of your household. Start having headache. Doctor say you have migraine. Why won't you have migraine? If you were you, won't you give yourself migraine? No, think about it. Won't you disturb your own soul for the wickedness of it? You see somebody who needs your money, you have it. I've heard the preachers go around preaching nonsense. So the money you God gave you for your house, you can't help you to help your auntie. You believe in that rubbish. They will not calculate for you that your father did not build because he was helping people. Let me tell you something. Christians behave like morons sometimes. They don't believe the words of the Lord Jesus. Your father was laying up treasure in heaven. That's why you're a believer today. That's why you are not smoking Indian hemp. Your cousins whose fathers did not help anybody, they had money. What's happened to their grandchildren? All of them are not normal. Let's talk on a normal play. We don't even come to Christianity yet. And then people, nobody's personal experience can invalidate the word of God. It's always better to help people than to build a house. It's always better to help people than to multiply buildings. It's always better. Because Jesus said, when you give to the poor, you lay up treasure in heaven. Who's lying to me here? To tell me that people who did good works is the reason why they are poor today? I don't know which Bible you read. You say you're a Christian. What I want to say here, why do people believe all of those things? They believe all that. I hear the doctrines all the time, preach all over town. People want to invalidate the word of God for me. Let me tell you something. I've said it here again. I don't know why I'm saying to me. Somebody brought these issues here this evening. It is not possible for you to give somebody money and they will use that money to harm you. It is not possible. God is judge. No witch has power. God is the judge. How will they make that? No, think about his common sense. How do they make that petition? Say, God, I've come to injure my niece, my nephew. God say, why? Because God says, I judge precise over every matter of this life, even if it's an Ogboni man bring him. Even if it's a Hindu that brings it. Even if it's Balaam that brings it. What if it's a matter of fact? So he will now say, with what have you come? He say, he gave me money to help me because I was hungry. No, think about it. The devil is not the judge. It's God. Let's even talk in the realm of occultism. That's what I'm saying. What would he say? His cousins were hungry. Then he sent me money to feed them. So here is the money. I want to use the money to enjoy him. Why? Listen, I know enough of occultic practices to know whoever told you that is lying to you. There was one story Pastor Paul, you told one in Lagos. He said he read it somewhere. Very instructive. It's not Christianity. But in fact, I also heard at court tell similar stories, different areas, things that they said people just wrote. Maybe, but it ties with what I understand. He said when God wanted to remove Egypt, Israel out of Egypt, listen to this, that before that, Pharaoh used to kill, I've forgotten how many cattle a day. Let's, as an example, let's assume 100 cows will die in one day, 300 goats, 1,000 fowls, 70 bags of rice they will cook to feed everybody that will come. They said Moses now went and prayed and said, destroy Pharaoh. God said, eh? Who will feed these people? So he and God had to scheme that first, we have to make Pharaoh stop doing his good works. So little rumors were presented to him. He will tighten the bondage on the people of Israel and break off the amount of offerings he was using to help people. And let me prove this scripture like that. Look at what happened to Daniel. When Daniel saw that Nebuchadnezzar was in trouble, what did he say to Nebuchadnezzar? He said, let's try and see whether we can prolong the days of your prosperity. How do you do it? He said, start doing good to the poor. Break off from your evil works and start doing good. Start showing mercy. To let you know that nobody should lie to you that you are helping your auntie and she's a witch, so she's afflicting you. No, it's a lie. He said, let me complete the story the way he told it. He said, the day that Moses carried the Israelites out of Egypt, was only one fowl they stuttered that night. Too many hungry people. Now all of them were now crying to God. This Pharaoh said, what's wrong with him? I don't know. Pharaoh is making us hungry. Accusation pile up. Jump to the thing where God added everything together. His judgment came. Now, that's not Christianity, it's spiritism. But I want you to understand. So somebody telling you that, assume you are even an unbeliever, they now tell you that it's because you are helping your uncle. That's why, because he's a witch, your life is not moving forward. Tell the person, spiritually, you know nothing. From what you have said, I would have died earlier if I wasn't doing what I'm doing. You don't break off from doing good works to sustain your long life. It doesn't happen. You increase it. Even if you wanted to operate spiritism level. I mean, listen, I don't know why I'm preaching like this today. Christians, be careful. I'm talking about knowledge. Be very, very careful. You want to travel, you're hiding it from people. You're opening doors to Satan in your life. Because you're hiding it has a reason. Is that a reason, like I said to you on Tuesday, that speaking the realm of the spirit, the demons know who's afraid. They're going to wait for you at nightmare. Oh, OP Junction. They will wait. Why? You are afraid. If you are confident, you will say, he prepares a table before me, even in the presence of my enemies. So you will tell the so-called enemies, tomorrow we'll be traveling. Where you go? We are going to Lagos. The Lord is good. If they have the power, go and wait on the road. That's how people die early. Those who think they have the power, go and wait. If you really are a witch, go and wait. When I have never hidden, I'm traveling. Never. Hiding from what now? From who? And you talk as if the spirits don't know you are going somewhere. The spirits know. They know you want to go somewhere. So don't bother hiding. Declare, they say, how are you doing? Fine. I hear people are traveling. They say, no, we're not going anywhere. Tell them, yes, we are traveling. Who told you? So that's the person say, yes, it is. That is true. We are traveling. Me, my wife, all the children. We are going in this particular car. I've sent the car for servicing. I'm not locking the door this night. Go and plant all your jars there. Let's see. Some people are saying, you know, this is not our mercy for today, but I think we are helping one or two people. We are helping some people who came with fear and trembling. Send them to walk confidently, knowing that greater is he that is in them than he that is in the world. I mean, declare, look, confidently. You know, there are times people who say that, don't mention your children. Everybody that listens to me know all the names of my children. Everybody, when I see strangers, they will say, how is Akiolu? How is Victory? How did you know them, sir? You talk about them in your messages. I'm not afraid. What if they know your children's name? I also know my children's name. I also know my children's names. I do. You don't have power over them. I have power over them. If I come before the judgment throne of God on their behalf, it carries weight. Your own carries no weight. Even if they sinned against you, the power of my prayers covered them. Even if they sinned against you, and they did not. What are you talking about? You see people behaving one kind, anyhow. If you want to travel, don't tell anybody. I'm be warning you. Listen, if you behave like that, you are opening your life to evil spirits. Now, the justice said they can see your color in the realm of the spirit. You smell. That is, every attitude has an odor. You know, the way somebody sprays a very good perfume, you know when it comes in. When a fearful person comes in, the spirits can smell it. You know, dogs can smell fear. Ordinary dogs. Went to my friend's house the other day to go and look at his dog. So at the point that the dog did whoom. So I stood still. I didn't move. I told the dog, be careful yourself. Which I could say because I could see the chain was intact. Now, it's what he said. That's why I remember it. He said, oh, that's a very good attitude. That's a good attitude. He said, if you run when a child like that, you will have made it go crazy. So, but when you stopped, the dog had to pause and look at you. Even though I stopped because I didn't want trouble, but but on a more serious note, one day, one of my sisters told the story of one of our brothers. I know the brother, but I knew him before I met her. So when I found out that we know the same person, that they are neighbors. So he said one day two of them went on the street, they were walking. And I used to tell her, stop being fearful, stop being fearful. So one day they were going, suddenly a dog ran out from somewhere and was charging at them. That when he saw the dog, he started running and went and, caught up with him. I think she was a bit far away from her. Caught up with him and, ran behind him. And he just told her, relax. He doesn't dog from anywhere. He just stunned. And the dog was charging. He just stopped. And the dog, he said, stop in Jesus' name. The dog just kneeled down. So the girl, stop being afraid. Let's go. Listen, I'm talking about spiritual things. All these things you are doing out of fear, you are attracting demonic dogs. Are you getting my point? Yeah, dogs are in the realm of the spirit. Say, beware of the dogs. It's in the Bible like that. They are spiritual dogs looking for who to attack. When you're hiding when you want to travel from your neighbors, the dogs can smell it. The dogs can smell it. The dogs can smell it. They know the fearful person. They can smell it. Come on, talk with God. I mean, why are you a believer for goodness sake? There's a dollar lost, another lost value against the dollar, you are panicking. Ask my wife, I laughed from when this last one went from 150 to reach 450 and was crawling towards 500. All I did was laugh. All I did was laugh. I did not want the, in fact, there was a time I deliberately stopped reading. When I see the headline in the papers, Naira crashes against the dollar, I go to the next page. When I see police catches notorious arm robber, I read that one. It's a sign of victory. I read it. Notorious kidnapper arrested in Oweri, I read that one. It's a sign of victory. Naira crashes against the pound, I just move over. Because I know, like I said, it's every day. God is taking care of us. As long as there is food for today, we will be grateful for today. And if there's no food, we will still rejoice inside the no food. You know, we've lived like this for decades now. Learned this thing long ago. And I realized that, you know the truth? Life is good. Life is good. All the fears of those days haven't come to pass. Life is good. I've seen people make funny decisions. I say, why do you behave like this? And they say, because safety is in America. Listen, safety, the Bible says clearly, is of the Lord. I said something the other day. Let me repeat it again. Be very careful what you do. What I mean is this. Be very careful that you don't take decisions that straightforward disobey the word of God. Please, you will never be blessed doing that. I said it the other day, let me say it again. If God says, relax, and you say, I will not relax. You know, people start rereading the Bible. They twist it around to fit what they are saying. You are begging for judgment. If the word of God says something and you don't know how to obey it, you know what you do? Take that word, go home, and start using it to pray every day. Don't make any decision. No, don't. It can be difficult. Just take that word and use it to pray every day. Let me say it again. Don't even try. No, there's something about the word of God. God, he knows life can be hard. He knows things can be tough. You know, he knows, he's aware. And the Bible even says that he is mindful that we are but flesh. That is, he understands. He knows that if you're in the wilderness, if you get thirsty, things can be rough. He's aware of it. He knows that if you are, let's say you are 32, you have 4 in a class, you have another, you know, you have age grade. How do they say it? Age grade, Abby? Yes. This society, communities we have in villages, you know. You have your age grade also, you're a member. He knows that anytime you read the news, you hear news of your friends, they are making physical advancements that you are not making, it will touch the flesh. He's aware of it. And he now gives instructions that you must not respond to them. He knows how it is. He said he's mindful that we are but flesh. Yet he gives instructions that don't take any thought for tomorrow. Comparing themselves with one another, they are not wise. And he gives all those scriptures. What are you supposed to do? I'll tell you. God does not. I said this in many years ago. I learned this in more than 20 years ago. About 25 years ago, I learned this. That God does not expect anybody to obey him. Now, listen to what I'm saying. Listen to it carefully. He does not expect people to obey him. He expects them to believe him. If they believe him, his word will work obedience in their lives. Disobedience to his word is a sign that they are not walking in faith. What am I going to say? You find yourself in that kind of situation, you find the word of God, you don't try and say, I will obey this word. I will obey this word. I will not be afraid. No. Just carry the word to prayer. So once it's God you are talking to, there's no problem. Say, Lord, in our age grid, I am the poorest. Amen?
Amen.
Amongst my classmates, I am the one that doesn't have money. And Lord, though, it's not for stupidity. You remember now. You gave me the intelligence to outshine all of these ones in school. Why is it like this? It's because I took this decision at the time. I believe it was right. At this point, I took this decision. Now, this is the door into becoming as rich as my friends. But, now, are you saying but? Somebody say but. Somebody say but. That but is important when you are praying that kind of rubbish prayer. I say rubbish because all that one you are talking is actually nonsense. Even Jesus did it, so don't feel bad. Jesus went to the garden. What did he say? All my mates are not going to the cross. So. That's what he told the Father. What did he now end it with? Nevertheless. That's the but we're talking about. But, not my will, but yours be done. And that not my will does not mean anything you like. What it means, I know it's important that we understand, because Christ says, God, anything is your will. I've seen people say things. Anyway, please read the book, the one that just came out, Guided by the Spirit. I discussed that thing inside there. When Jesus said, not my will, but yours be done, he wasn't talking about God, anything you like, do. No. What he said is that, I know your will. I just came here to collect strength. What do I mean? He knew that cross was not negotiable. When he said, not my will, but yours be done, what he was saying is that this cross, we will go. I don't know whether you're catching what I'm saying. How do I know? Go and read John chapter 12. He said, now is my soul troubled. My soul is in distress. See, what am I going to say? Will I say, Father, deliver me from this hour? He said, no now, but for this cause, I came to this hour. He said, I have come in the volume of these books. It is written of me to do thy will. Oh my God. He said it to the disciples. The moment Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. What did he say? He said, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. He now went ahead and began to tell them what will happen to him as they are heading for Jerusalem. That was why Peter said, none of these things will happen to you. And he said what? Get behind me, Satan. Jesus was not in doubt as to what the will of God was. So when he said, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. It was not like, God, if you like, take away the cross, I'll be happy. No. He knew the cross was not going anywhere. Some of these God, anyone you like, do. It's our way of trying to trick him into coming to our side. And let me tell you something. Hey, God. Many things we are saying. Many times, when he sees that you are so determined, you know what he will do? He will open the door for you to go against his desire for your life. It's not every open door that God opened for you. Every door is opened according to your desires. Look, let me say that. I mean that literally. I was talking to one of our brothers the other day. He was telling me something. I laughed and laughed. He said, he just said that whichever one God opens. I said, my brother, if God knows you know the truth and you are praying against the opposite, he will open the door for you. Let me give an example, as an example now. Very, very useless example, but it came to my mind, so I'm going to have to use it. I'm a married man, amen? Assuming I see one woman that I like, you know, in a romantic way, and I want to go and visit, and I know what's going on in my mind, and I know the useless thing going on in her mind too. And I get to her door, stay inside my car, start praying, Father, please, if you want me to see her, let her be at home. If you don't want me to see her, let her not be at home. Even if she was not at home, God will arrange two angels to bring her back. Are you getting my point? No, I know the Lord I serve. He said, bank, that's where you like it. No problem. No problem. So you now go there and now say, Lord, I just want to be sure. If he's at home, I know you want me to come here. If he's not at home, I know it's not your will. Because that's where you don't want it. No problem. You will knock. Not only will she be at home, she'll be dressed waiting for you. At that point in time, Holy Spirit will depart. You know what they call Ichabod? So be careful when you are giving God some useless signs to whether you know. Look, when the Lord knows you know the truth, when he knows you know the truth, don't ask for a sign. Every sign you ask for when you know the truth is called tempting the Lord thy God. What I have to say is a matter of fact. What am I trying to say here? Listen, God doesn't expect people to forcefully obey him. You don't have your energy, you can't. What does he say you should do? Take that word, believe it. Go home and start praying with it every day. When Jesus said, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done, he knew what he was saying. He was just saying that I don't have the strength in myself to carry it out. So every time he would say, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done, he got more strength to go to the cross. So full of the strength of God was he, when the time finally came, the disciples wanted to fight. He was the one settling the fight. Don't worry, let them take me, let them take me. Peter tried to kill. You know, Peter wasn't trying to cut off somebody's ear. It was the head he was going for. But the man dodged. And that was when the ear went off. He healed the man's ears. Did that one. Who are you seeking? They will fall backwards. He said, don't worry about it. Come, come, come. He made it clear that I'm going willingly. He was very willing to go. Because by that time he had been possessed, listen to this, with the spirit of obedience. How did it happen? Because he said, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. So when you have crisis, you take the word home. All your friends in quotes have overtaken you. Go home. Say, Lord, I came to tell you today. But this is your will. That's why I'm talking about it. You say, a man's life does not consist in the abundance of things which he possesses. Say, Lord, that's your will. Nevertheless, this word must be held on to. It must be true. You say, Lord, a man can lay his treasure in heaven. That's your will. Lord, nevertheless, we must hold on to that truth, not any other thing. You keep on, you know, narrating. He said, there is a race that is set before me. It's not a common race with everybody. It's my own race. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. It's a matter of prayer. It's not a matter of I have determined. You can determine and see things stronger than you. The way you've heard me speak for some time, I spoke like that for a long time until a friend of mine visited me one day. And he reminded me, he wanted to move abroad, go to one of these, actually he was going to South Africa. He's my age mate, just a few weeks apart in birth. He went to med school late, he had finished a first degree before he went to do medicine as a second degree. So one day he came to see me that I just finished his house job and all of that. I was a senior registrar. So I was talking with him, why are you traveling and all of that? And he told me everything. One of the things he told me that there's a particular issue in the home that somebody has to come with the money to solve it. And if he's describing, there was not one thing he said that was selfish. Everything he said was that I have to help my father, I have to help my mother, I have to help my siblings, do you understand? Everything was selfless. And I made a statement, he said, no, he said, you are very lucky. You know, you started early. By that time, I was a senior registrar. when he was just trying to start out in the medical career. That he said, I don't have that time. You know, as he was talking, something hit me. That back in all this, your faith, you're walking by faith, you don't care about material things. I said, this was what came to me. And I look now, it's more Satan. I didn't think about it that time, but this was the things that came to me. So you see, you've just been thinking about yourself. What about that people that may be depending on you? What about people you are connected with? Your friend is thinking about them, you're not thinking about them. It hit me, I cried. After he left, I was alone in my room, I wept. I felt stupid. I felt selfish. You don't want to go abroad, go and look for money. Because that's what everybody did that time. I'm talking many years ago. Country was tight. You don't want to go abroad looking for money. Look at your friend, he has said, you know, I sat down there and I was crying. I'm not kidding you. Then the word of the Lord came unto me saying, literally the word of the Lord, just dropped like his thought in my heart. Except a man hates his father, mother, brother, and sister, he cannot be my disciple. That was what solved it for me. Because I realized it wasn't like I hated, those of you who know me closely enough, I don't look like somebody that hates life. I don't fit in deeper life, do I? Or... No, think about it. Ask those that know me. I'm telling you the truth. So when you see me talking, it's not my natural thing. It's not. The way I used to dress in school, conservative. One day a classmate of mine came to borrow money from me. I was shocked. I said, you think I have that kind of money? That was what he thought. I'm not a man that likes to suffer. Don't think it. I learned how to suffer. It's a learning process. I learned how to sew garri and be happy. I learned how to go home, now not to go out and sit in one spot and be content. I learned it. That day my friend came, finished like that when he left. I'm telling you the truth, God is my witness. I sat in my house and I cried. Until the father said, the word of the Lord came to my heart. Just dropped, I remember. Just seeped into my heart like a statement. Except a man hates his father and his mother and his brothers and sisters and everybody that wants to depend on him, he can't be my disciple. Of course, when he was talking about hatred, he wasn't talking about hate them, go after them with a knife and a gun and shoot somebody. No, he was saying that compared to their love for me, that I'm first in their hearts, I'm first in their lives, the pleasure of God is the primary thing in their decision-making process. Many people, they make choices which they know is against God's order for their lives. Why? They say, because of my children. Why do you insult God with such statements? There's an insulting side of it. There's a stupid side of it. What is the insulting side of it? Are you trying to say that God, you love your children more than the father loves them? That's number one. Number two, are you saying without his blessing, specially, whatever effort you put in for those children will amount to anything? That's the stupid side of it. The insulting side of it is the first one. You think you can... Where I was going today, let me say it's a pity. I thank God for the Holy Spirit. Well, I've gotten there. You will have known that the job the Lord Jesus has, that's what I'm going to talk about today. Every day, I broached it when we started this series, okay? About two messages ago. But I wanted to sit on it today for you to know that the job the Lord Jesus has every day, all right, is offering prayers and petitions with the sprinkling of his blood every day on your behalf, that the promises of God will be fulfilled in your life. Everybody goes to work, that's where he resumes his duties. He has a full-time and eternal job of being a high priest. I studied it and found out that what does he do every day? Like I said the other day, he mentions your name. That's what the Bible calls the blood of sprinkling. He sprinkles that blood is inexhaustible, it doesn't finish. One single sacrifice, but the effect does not finish. And every day he offers prayers and petitions in the power of that blood that he shed. And he mentions your name, and listen to me, the names of your children. And you think you can reason about their lives as much as he can? Sorry to say like this, you must be out of your mind. You know, I thought about it. The problem Jesus has is that they don't draw near to him. Time is gone. We'll have gone there. That's where I hope to get into. That's actually my message for today. But just that we all time, I can't go into in details now. I thought about it. Okay, Lord, if this is what you are doing, what is now the problem? See, the problem is that he ever lived to make intercession for those who draw what? Near. They don't. They draw near to embassies, draw near to business planners, draw near to those who teach them how to lay out treasure for tomorrow, draw near to everybody that teaches them everything. Apart from to draw near to Christ. I said, this is the word of God. We are holding on to it. There was a statement I heard Helen Keller make. Well, I read that Helen Keller made. Can't remember it now, but Helen Keller said something. This is how Christians must handle life. The truth is that Helen Keller said, those who face danger are not more at risk than those who run from it. That those who run away from danger are not safer than those who face it. That's what Helen Keller said. I can't remember her exact words. What am I saying? When we are making decisions, listen to me. Never make any decision that subverts the truth of God that you know. Don't ever do it. Don't ever do it. If it looks like the pressures of life, they are too much. It is simple. How did the Lord say handle it? Take the words, his word that you heard. Take those scriptures that you built your life upon, that brought you to the point of pressure, and use it to pray. I don't know whether this statement I want to make is good. I was kind of one brother the other day, just a few days ago. Listen, because I'm one person, you know, there are differences where you encourage people. I told you, like, at the end of the day, what is life? God will take care of all of us. But I told the brother I was talking with, I said, listen to me. I said, if it is about money, when I gather with my classmates, I'm one of the poorest. Cash-wise, not kidding about it. So I told my brother, I said, listen, but am I complaining? No. God forbid. Two people came for this local convention I went for because they heard I would be there. One of them, he said he came just because he heard I would be there. He told me how his life was arranged because he stumbled into my messages. And when he was bringing his whole family back home, everybody told him he was mad. But anytime he would think, everything I said would be reverberating through his heart, through his spirit. He said, good enough, sir. I have a wife that's on my side. He just came to see me. I tell people, if you wanted to value life, Paul said, even though my blood is being poured out as a drink offering, as long as it's on the sacrifice for your faith, I'm content. Another young man came, killed up. He needed to come for this convention because he had to see me. I shook his hand. He looked at the hand like, ah! I said, if hand is doing like that, come, let me hug you completely. I told my brother, I know what to do. Oh, let me tell you, I was the youngest in my class. Paul said, all these things that were gained to me, I counted them as what? Dung. Why? It's simple. Because God has a purpose, he has a call for my life. And when I see you sitting there listening to me, I know I did not make the wrong choice. Do you get what I'm making here? No, if ever I wanted to get discouraged, all I just need to do is just travel. Travel there, just go somewhere strange. And announce, hey, my name is Pastor Banky. I'll just be waiting for three people that will come and greet me. Say, ah! Olga, you preached this in 2005. Since that time, my life will not be the same again. Yeah, when I hear that, I go back home, I'm cool. Say, Banky, see? You're working. It may not be cash, but, you know, it's life that's counting. Are you getting my point? So Chris Devon said, don't let the need of your life be the God of your life. Running up and down because, you know, of money. No. Don't let it happen. I like Derek Prince. Derek Prince had a year of 45. He had nothing. He had no money, no bank account, no house, nothing. The son of a British army officer. He was a professor, that is a lecturer in Cambridge. as a young man in his 20s. He had entered into the academia in Cambridge, going somewhere great, physically speaking. Then the Lord arrested him and made him a teacher of the word. Then his life scattered. Thorough scattering. But God had a plan for him. Are you getting my point here? No, God had a plan for him. As an old man, children were being named after him. Children were being named after him. Why am I talking about that? Listen. Remember where I began it from? The knowledge of God. You know what we're talking about. I was supposed to continue talking about the way, the truth, and the life. But I'm just talking about what the knowledge of God helps us to do. And how, where I got stuck on this is I wanted to give a warning. Don't make decisions that turn your back on the revealed word of God. What is the revealed word of God? The understanding you just know that this is wrong. Now, it's just simple things. You like a woman, you like her very well. You want to marry. Then last minute, they tell you as a believer in Christ Jesus that the family is Osu. You know, it's a funny thing around here. You know, you are in deep poo-poo. Are you getting my point? Yeah. You just tuck your leg inside something that's bad. Because your family people will not hear it. But I hope you understand that is your own test of faith. This is how you now start as telling God whether you believe him or you believe your village idols. It's a simple thing. I'm not saying it's easy. I did not say it is easy. Woo! Jesus even came and said it. When you follow me, I turn the heart of a father against his son. Yeah, it happens. I did not say it is easy. Forget all this gospel that you, somebody will say, once you just believe God, everything will be going easy for you. Woo! That thing is a lie. Sometimes you believe God, your life has come to an end. If you did not believe him, you will have prospered, gone forward, everything would have been okay, you will have built 2 houses also, have average children, wife that's not going anywhere, you yourself are not going anywhere, but you have money. You'll be flying all over the world, feeling very happy. You'll be like the sinner that David described, that all their joy is in this world. Once you die, yes, that's what David said. Everything is in this. You'll just be like that. Another average non-entity. And one thing I've noticed is that, God forgive me, no more people just ask, my children, go abroad. All the children get there and they are average. They melt into the average, into the American pool. They are nothing. And the children come back home to a country run by the children of their drivers, their gardeners, their cooks. They start complaining that, what's going on in this country? It's a spiritual principle. Nothing is going on more than spiritual principle. Those that dwelt in the land and cultivated, they are the ones that will rule, even if they are sinners. I've heard people saying, all these children of the boys' quarter people are now the one ruling. I say, your own children are sweeping gutter in America. What do you expect? Why? Because you had money, those that you could export, and they couldn't afford it. You've forgotten that the poor and the rich have one thing in common. God is the maker of them all. Get used to it, that's what life be. That's what I was saying. So obeying God, that's what I'm saying. It does cost. At such a season, you know, there's a way God will set you, you know, called set up. Say, God, why did you let me meet this girl? God said, he won't answer you, but in his heart, he's saying, I wanted you to get into this trouble. If I had let you know early, you would have started saying, no, she really doesn't feel the kind of thing that the Lord is leading. You will use my name to deceive everybody. This one, she has fitted everything. You have visions of preaching the gospel in Bolivia. All her life, she has been dreaming of Colombia. So everything is just time. God even used her to fulfill some of your carnal mindset. When the woman that looked like this, God made her like that for your sake. You want a woman that can teach your children the gospel. You met her in Sunday school. Educating young people. Everybody saying that to me. J-E-S-E-S. J-E-S-E-S. J-E. Ah! That was why your heart came there in the first place. And the day you heard her speaking tongues, she was speaking your grandmother's language. Hey, mom, prokotonto, protovezuzozo, show hot all over. And you were worshiping me, Father, I thank you. Then you went and prayed. And Holy Spirit did your will. Holy Spirit said, your word. That is my will. And then finally, one of our friends just felt that, well, since this thing is going far, let me just let you know. She meant well, though, because just knows that he doesn't want you to be shocked the day of revelation. She now called to decide, she said, actually, her grandfather was a household slave of the Igwe. And then they said that they are the Osus that were actually harvested from when they raided the lower part of Kogi and Benue State in 1822. Look at the girl again. Look at yourself. Your life is over. Oh, everybody in the village knows. You did not know because you met her in Lagos. Omo. And you went to tell your father said, over my dead body. And you realize that one or two things. Either your father dies. Aye. I've painted a very bad picture for you, right? Let me just tell you ahead of time. God will accept no excuse for you to turn your back on that girl. That is Christianity we are talking about. You hear what I said? If it's that you don't like the way she talks, but that, you know, there are things you do and you insult the blood of Jesus. There are things you do and you say to God, your will is inferior to that of my father, mother, uncles, and village people. Because what's the worst they will do? They will say, don't come back to the village. So, I make you the king of the world. All this don't come back to the village is when you are not yet governor. Forget those things. When you become governor, you will find the sacrifice that the villagers know. That they used to cleanse all those kind of things. When they want to... one of the DBS will get up and say, there was one sacrifice my grandfather said we can use as such time. They say, go and harvest a red gorilla. They will find. They will kill the gorilla and then all the Osu lineage has been cleansed. Doesn't matter. You will return. Governor. That will become our illustrious son. So forget that. God knows how to arrange all of these things. But first, he has to have you in a place where you are ready to choose him above all else. He's not saying hate people, just say choose me first. That's what I have told you is what Christianity is about. Obeying God sometimes scatters your life. Oh, just scatters it entirely. You lose your position amongst men. Paul said, everything that was gained to me, I had to count as what? As dung. I had to count it as... Listen, let's forget the word dung. Dung makes it look like, you know, dung, as if it's a cow that shited in the grass. You know, that's dung. Now you're walking in the grass. You step in, have I ever stepped in cow shit before? Yeah. You know, it's green. You can see the leaf still inside. That's not what Paul said. Paul said, be like shit. A human being will not be shit. Cow own is what? Dung. The literal thing Paul said, is what I'm telling you. You know I won't lie to you. Sometimes that's what happens when you want to obey God. You have to look at all those advantages and count them as nonsense. That's the test of faith. I was saying that to let you know that, listen, sometimes you have to make a decision in life. You must never turn your back on God. What does it mean to turn your back on God? On his word. So how do I do it? It's simple. It is very simple. You take that word where? To prayer. Maybe next time I'll get back to it. He ever liveth, King James says, to make intercession for them that draw near to God by him. That's what he does. If they draw near, he said, draw near to the throne of grace and obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. What is that need that he was talking about? It's a time in which obeying the word is hard. That's exactly what he was talking about. That Hebrews chapter 4. Is when obeying the word is hard. When you gather with all those your friends that I was talking about and you look like you don't know what you're doing. When you're in this kind of situation and suddenly your uncles that thought you were the favorite of their nephews, your father that thought you were the favorite of his children, everybody that loved you suddenly realized that this your Christianity is going too far. And they're not joking about it. because your family realize you're about to put a bad name on them. And yet, if you turn your back, you're about to put a bad name on the faith of Christ. That is when you are, that's when you are in it. And that is when you go and pray. Let me also tell you something ahead of time. Your prayer is not God change their minds. We pray prayers sometimes that God can't answer. It's not Lord change their minds. It's no. It is how it is. The prayer is nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And in this situation, nevertheless, not their will, not the will of the villagers, my parents, no, but yours be done. That's how it is. So you pray that prayer. How God will solve it, I don't know. And right now, I actually don't care. I just want you to expect the worst in that situation. When I say expect the worst, expect people to reject you. Expect your villagers not to talk to you again. Expect your family not to call you anymore. Expect them not to attend the wedding. That's the worst that will happen. And God is not promising you it will not happen. No, I find no such promise. If along the line, your father gives his life to Christ and starts following you, it's an added bonus. But the Lord is not promising it. Don't sow any seed to change their minds. It is a test of your faith. I hope you are getting my point here. Let me say one more time. Never do anything that appears like you have turned your back on the word of God. Because that's just the beginning of the end of your life. When you turn your back on God, you know what is happening? This is how God did it. He's on this side. Anybody that turns his back on him, they face Satan. Should I prove it to you? I don't need to. I know you believe it. But just to give you one scripture, because it's in my mind. As the Holy Spirit departed from Saul, what happened? Thank you. Saul was a normal person until he started disobeying God. All the madness in his life was because he disobeyed the Lord. Saul was normal. Please, I hope you're getting my point here. It's very important to understand it. Saul was a normal person until he decided to start disobeying God and sitting down in disobedience. That was how evil spirits entered his life. Many people are praying to God for breakthrough now. They don't know where their breakdown began. It was a choice they made years ago. And it looks like everybody has forgotten. As I tell people, when God brings such things to you, you have to cleanse them by repentance and say, Lord, I'm sorry. Let's bow down our heads. Let's give our thanks. I've spoken enough today. Next time, I'll get into what I wanted to teach. But I hope somebody was blessed today. So let's give the Lord thanks. And let's just thank him. Thank him. I always let thank him for light. Thank him for understanding. Let's say, Lord, I thank you for light. I thank you for understanding. And dedicate yourself once again to obeying God. Dedicate yourself to making choices that are pleasing to him. Dedicate yourself to obeying his word no matter what. Now, not by your own strength. I've already explained it. It's not by your strength. It's by the Spirit of God, which operates by you taking his word to prayer. Dedicate yourself again. Say, Lord, I dedicate myself to obeying you. So, Lord, let my life count.